Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back. It's 2.05 p.m., and it's time for lunch. A little bit of a late lunch. You know, it's summertime. It's hot, and we go taking it a little bit easy. Power lunching at Penka. You are tuned in to AM 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk, where the local news is the local talk, and the local talk is the local news. And if you like our version of the local talk and the local news, go to Tucson Weekly. They have a voting right now. It is still open for your favorite radio station in town, and we are in the running. And we would love you to vote for us as your favorite. Joining us each and every day, the most interesting and influential tastemakers, newsmakers, style makers, lawmakers, movers and shakers, foodies and friends join us. And around our table, live in the city of gastronomy, we bring the flavor and taste of place to life. Chef David Solorzano is our host today here at Penka Restaurant, located at number 50 Broadway. David, welcome back. He's plying us with just a light smattering of some of his seasonal luncheon favorites, crowd-pleasing, delicious items that reimagine and redefine some classic items that we were over the break discussing and we're calling their favorite items. They were familiar, but now they're favorite. It's one thing to know a dish, and it's another to love a dish. Joining us here at the table is Greg Diana from Pima County JTED. How are you? Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
How yummy is that salad, and how yummy is this moment?
Everything is delicious, and it's just an incredible moment of gathering around food, great food. It's so fresh and vibrant. Wonderful to be here.
I love having you at my table.
Thank you.
I really do. You become a very favorite person. We've had so many fun conversations in and around the chatting on the show. And our new neighbor and new friend, Robin Mather, is here from... she's got two points of view that she's representing today. She's a new food writer in town. She's a freelancer for the Arizona Daily Star. And she is a businesswoman who has undertaken a new venture that we wanted to make sure we gave you the chance to... This is the scoop on the broadcast side.
It definitely is, because this news is very new. I just purchased the Country Harvest Pantry heirloom dried bean business from Cindy Burson.
Oh, cool.
Many of her customers will see me at the Sunday Rito Park Farmers Market. Until September, I will probably only be at Rito, but I have a Facebook page for Country Harvest Pantry, and that's the best place to stay up in touch with me. I'm going to be selling more than 40 kinds of heirloom dry beans, all grown in the United States. There's a wonderful guy named Steve Sando. His company is called Rancho Gordo, and he's out in California. And he's a friend of mine, actually. He specializes in heirloom beans from Mexico. But my company specializes in heirloom beans from around the United States. They're all grown domestically.
Now, when you look at a bean in its dried form versus a bean in its pod form,
mm-hmm.
I know I could identify maybe 8 or 9 beans. Coming up with 40, I don't know that I could recognize 40 types of beans in pods.
It's remarkable, and I think they're really incredibly beautiful. Dried beans are incredibly beautiful. I saw some this morning that a guy in Ecuador grew that are as blue as these mic covers.
Wow.
And they're a traditional Ecuadorian bean, apparently. You know, I need to learn more about that bean.
Chef David Solorzano is the executive chef at Penka Restaurant. Do you do a lot with beans? Have you historically done a lot with beans? Are you going to be doing any more, like the traditional, regional, organic, and heirloom beans?
Yeah, in the future. Right now, I'm just going to concentrate more on chilies and corn. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of beans in Central Mexico as well.
What's your favorite? Is there something that has just become an essential part of your core cuisine, your core pantry?
Bean-wise? Bean-wise, core is always just kind of in black. I don't know. I like rattlesnake beans a lot. Hearts of Fire are really good, too.
Yeah. I like a bean called Mortgage Lifter or Bordol. It's the same bean. Do you know it?
Mm.
So big white bean, bigger than a lima bean. When it's cooked, it has a floury texture like a baked potato, and it's a so it makes it a very good mashing bean.
Okay.
And Cindy, the previous owner, told me that what she likes to do is split open a roasted poblano and spread it with some mashed Bordal beans, sprinkle on some cheese, and then another poblano, and then she runs it under the broiler or heats it in a skillet. And so she says it's like a chili relleno quesadilla.
Oh, wow.
And she serves it cut in strips. It's pretty basic food. All great flavors, and so easy to prepare. But I just discovered this Bordal bean when I met Cindy.
I love the idea of this. Greg Deanna's here from JTED, and we're thrilled that he joined us. And part of the reason we wanted to have you join us today while Chef is with us is because you've recently had some awards announced, and I wanted to give you the chance to talk about it as a means of describing the role that JTED has in our community. And what is JTED?
Sure. Well, JTED provides free career and technical education programs to high school students, high school sophomores, juniors, and seniors, regardless of their school choice. We really get kids ready for careers and college. And getting those students college and career ready is essential for our economy, and driving that in a large part of our economy, of course, is food service. We do have some excellent culinary programs across the county that we're very proud of. In fact, two of our chefs that are working at our JTED at Mountain View facility, Brian King and Corinne Angelo. Corinne Angelo is a wonderful pastry chef and is looking into me expanding just a course on pastry for high school seniors. So that's exciting news. We have some award winners that the Association of Career and Technical Education is having their state conference here in Arizona right now at the at Lowe's Ventana Canyon and also at the Western La Paloma. It's a huge conference. And we have some award winners. The Director of Career and Technical Education in the Vail School District is Aaron Schmidt. And he's going to be building a culinary program at their new Mica Mountain High School.
Oh, cool.
That is getting set to open. And so this will be the first culinary program in the Vail District available to them. So that's exciting news. Aaron does a terrific job, and he deserves the honor. Their construction teacher, Mike Keck, was also honored with an award, the Carl Perkins Community Service Award. And he has done a tremendous job of building buildings on the district property with his students. So they have built the bus barn and the daycare center and an administration building, a skybox, sports box for the stadium.
Oh, cool.
And then they recently rehabbed, they worked with the Vail Preservation Society and brought back a section foreman house from the 1915 that was abandoned out in the desert. And they relocated this home to their Esmond Station School. And the construction students have brought it back to life. So it's a wonderful example of what our JTED students are capable of doing. And then two others honored in our health sciences program. Beth Francis won the Innovative Program of the Year Award. And then we have an administrative assistant who's been with us for a long time, Christina Suarez. And they were all, again, high honors for Southern Arizona. And we're really proud of these individuals who've won these awards.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Wonderful. That's got to make you feel so good.
It does, because we just have an outstanding group of people working at JTED, and all for, you know, one purpose in mind, and that's to make students' lives better, but also to provide a skilled workforce for industry.
I know we're talking a lot about your culinary program. Obviously, I have a bias. But the truth is, you've got several programs, and if people are just hearing about JTED for the first time, let's tell them what's the breadth of this educational opportunity that you're providing to these kids.
It really reaches far and wide. We have over 50 programs. They're all available on our website at pmedjted.org. You can check them all out. It's really important for a student to find something that they love to do, because there's that saying, you know, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life, and I believe that wholeheartedly. And so you can check out these programs. In the healthcare program arenas, we have licensed nursing assistants who actually go into a career as a licensed nursing assistant and can expand from there. Medical assistants, also licensed by the state, and go on to work. So there's many programs that lead to state licensure or industry certification. So really, our slogan is we put people to work, and that's what we're all about, is helping high school students engage in a career early on, find out what they love to do, and do it well.
And so if you had a little kid who was like, I'm going to be a paramedic, I'm going to be a first responder, I'm going to be a fireman, and mm-hmm. you've got programs. If somebody dreamed of being in health sciences, you've got programs for that.
Absolutely.
If you've got a kid who's got a little bit of an engineering bent, you've got programs for that, responsive to the realities of the work opportunities and the economy in which these kids are going to be graduating.
Mm-hmm. And it's something that students can try out while they're in high school and find out if they really love it. Again, going back to that home ec kitchen, you couldn't find out if you really loved cooking on a commercial scale in a home ec kitchen, but you can find out if you love working. We have industrial kitchens, and so they can find out if they love that atmosphere, if that's what gets them excited.
But you know what? Don't most kids, and I want to open this up to other guests, don't most of us that love to cook and that make it a career in some form or another learn at home? How young were you, or how old were you, David, when you really first started to get bit by the food bug and the cooking bug?
It was...
Or was it the eating bug first?
No, yeah, I don't know. I think it was, well, I was going to go to art school before this. So I think it was probably 16, something like that.
Were you always a food lover? Were you the kid that was always in cooking?
When I was younger, I was a little picky. It wasn't until I graduated high school that I started experiencing more with food.
What's the food you love the best right now? Like, is there something, if I said, David, what's your favorite food?
Pasta I can always eat.
What do you ever make for, do you make family meals here at Penka?
Sometimes, yeah.
What are the things you make or that your team makes and shares with each other?
I mean, it's things that I have access to, so it's usually Mexican food, but yeah, it's usually rice, beans, or like Colorado or something.
It's what's in the house. We're going to take a very quick break, and when we come back, more from Penka, live from the City of Gastronomy. This is Around the Table. We'll be back with more right after this. 520-790-2040 is the phone number where you can call and join us. But better yet, come on down and have lunch with us. We'll be here, and happy hour starts very soon. You can stay here with us all afternoon. There's deliciousness abound on this table and elsewhere in this beautiful restaurant. This is Penka at number 50 Broadway. Come and join us. We'll be back with more right after this. Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Around the Table Live from the City of Gastronomy. We are broadcasting live from Penka Restaurant at number 50 Broadway in downtown Tucson, where each and every day we invite the most interesting and influential tastemakers, newsmakers, style makers, lawmakers, movers and shakers, foodies and friends to join us for conversations about what's going on our quest for the most irresistible food, culture and entertainment in the old Pueblo. Joining us at our table today is my new friend. Robin Mather is a freelance food writer who brings her distinguished career and her keen eye and formidable palate to our pursuit, the pursuit of delicious. Thank you for coming and joining us here in Tucson. We're glad you landed here.
So happy to be here.
Not only are you a freelancer at large, but you also will be a freelancer for the Arizona Daily Star. We can find your columns
every Thursday in the Caliente section.
Every Thursday in the Caliente section. What's coming up this Thursday? Can you give us a hint?
Yeah. I interviewed a couple named Tony and Andrea McGowan. They own a company called Mouth of the South Salsa. And as far as I can determine, they're the only makers of fresh salsa, chilled, never cooked, salsa in the city. Now, on a commercial level, I'm saying. So they have an interesting story, and that's what I'm telling in Thursday's column.
You know who you need to meet? You need to meet our friends from Chiltepica.
Mm-hmm.
They make a really delicious chorizo that has been sold at the Costco's, among other places, and they've recently ended their... run at the Costco, and it's just so delicious. You got to try it.
I'm eager to do so.
I want to ask you, when we talk about food, and we were talking before about fine dining and how fine dining is changing, and clearly it's going to influence the young people who are going through programs like the JTED program and other culinary schools. Will you talk a little bit about how this works? Do people change the restaurants in turn, which change what the restaurants ask for in terms of its staffing? Or how does that... Who changes first? Do the restaurants change? Do the diners change? Do the kids that are coming up change?
I don't think it's exactly a push me, pull you. I think it's more of a confluence of influence. So the diners are driving the kind of menu that succeeds. So if the menu succeeds and the restaurant succeeds, and the successful restaurant wants its kitchen staff, its back of the house staff, to be plugged into what people are wanting. So in that context, suppose that I was 18 years old right now, and I had just come through Greg's culinary program, but I had been trained as a strictly classical French chef or strictly classical Chinese chef. Now I show up to work in a kitchen like David's, and what I find is my palate is all out of sync. My skills are all out of sync because I don't know this kind of food. You know? Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
So the customers, I think the customers drive the restaurant success, clearly, but the restaurant drives the success of Greg's students. And what he needs to do is make sure that they're trained up to a certain level, I think, and then they're still malleable enough that they can adapt and continue to learn
to
as
the
they
style
work.
Of that, to the style of the house.
Correct?
That's correct, and you're absolutely right. We always teach the basic skills, and we know that the world is changing. And just as it's changed, you know, the days of those white linen tablecloths seem to be fading very fast if they haven't already. So we do teach students those basic skills, but that they can go anywhere and use anywhere and then adapt to the changing environment around them.
Greg, tell me, what are you seeing the kids doing that gives you a lot of hopefulness about the food world that we live in?
Well, one thing we have, our culinary students compete in a lot of different competitions. We have a Skills USA, which is a career and technical student organization. We have some others, FCCLA, and they have food competitions where students have to have a timed, limited ingredient, much like you see in the TV show, culinary competitions. And they have to compete that way, showing their skills. And we see students compete in that each year, and sometimes they start their sophomore year, junior year, and senior year. And you see the growth in their, because it's all about the presentation, it's about the level of skills. Judges are watching everything you do through the very first steps of planning to preparing the food, to plating the food, and then how the food tastes. And so seeing these students rise up to those challenges, it's really encouraging.
That's so cool. Do you keep an eye on where your kids are going in the community? And how often when you go out to eat, do you bump into one of your kids?
We try to, and we do bump into them pretty frequently, all over the place. So it ranges. I was at a Nothing Bundt Cakes, and I happened to know the owner, and he said, "Hey, I have one of your kids in the back." And she was baking, and she'd gone through our Miranda culinary program.
Neat.
And happy as could be, you know, it was a great job for her, and the owner of the store was very excited to have her on board. So we do see our students in all kinds of different situations and venues. We don't have a formal tracking system, so we do hope our alumni will stay in touch with us. Note to you guys listening, you can contact me on our website at www.pimajta.org and let me know what you're doing. Would love to do an alumni profile on you if you went through one of our programs.
One of the things that strikes me, if someone's listening to this and they know a young person, they go, this is for my kid. When and how do you get involved? We're in summer break, but summer's going to be over soon enough. When can a kid get involved in JTA?
They can get involved starting their sophomore year of high school, and they get involved, come onto our website, look over the programs, have mom and dad look at the website, find out which program seems best for you, speak to your school counselor about it. If you don't have a school counselor available to you, contact us on our website, and we have a team of counselors that will work with you to make sure that you're getting in the right program for you, and one that you'll enjoy, and then one that works for your schedule.
And so Is there still time for a kid to get involved?
There is still time for certain programs. Culinary arts, we usually still have some room. Those are large programs, and they're a little more flexible. They're not regulated by the state as to how many students we can have in them. Our cosmetology programs and our nursing assistant programs have filled up already pretty much for the 2019-2020 school year.
Wow, they filled
up fast this year. But we always start our enrollment in mid-January. Yeah. And then we go through the summer until the programs are either full or they're too far underway for a student to join.
Very cool. For more information about JTED, you can go on the World Wide Web, too.
Yes, PIMAJTED.org.
All right, let's talk about the things that really matter, food. You are a connoisseur. I've gotten to know you. We've bumped into each other at favorite restaurants. Where are you dining when it's really too hot to cook at home? Where are you going these days?
You know, I like some of the local taquerias and around, especially down on the south side. Traveling South 12th Avenue, there's a lot of great little places that have popped up, serving great food. And also big fan of 4th Avenue and downtown. I mean, we've seen a wonderful resurgence of downtown, and including Pinka, one of my favorites.
So. This is absolutely one of my favorites, too.
Right, absolutely.
It's hard to beat. It really is hard to beat. If you were going to take our new friend Robin, who's just moved to town, to one of your favorite haunts, what do you think really, and again, aside from Pinka, what expresses this moment in time food-wise?
I think for me, it's the Southwest flavors that, you know, again, from our local region, things that you see are fresh. I mean, this food is so before us today, it looks like it was just plucked from the garden hours ago.
It does.
And so that's something that is always awesome to see.
And it's not easy to do when
right.
it's this hot.
Correct. And to see things, and I worked in a kitchen before, so to see things that are not wilted and looking sad, there's none of that here. I mean, it just looks absolutely beautiful.
When you were talking, Robin, before, we're talking with Robin Mather. She's a freelance food journalist who is new to town, and she's the new food writer for the Arizona Daily Star, appearing in the Thursday Caliente sections. You were talking about a new bean that is one of the beans that's part of your heirloom business that you are acquiring and bringing to the Rialto Downs market. And you were talking about something that sounded a little bit like, almost like a chile relleno without the frying.
Yes. Cindy Burson, who is the previous owner of this business, was telling me that what she likes to do is take a roasted poblano and split it and take out the seeds, of course, and then spread it with some mashed beans. The ones that I was talking about were Bordal, but it would be equally good with mashed black beans or pintos, and then you layer some good melty Oaxacan or Chihuahua cheese on top and put another poblano split and cleaned on top of that and just run it into the oven under the broiler or in a skillet until that cheese is all melty. Yeah.
That sounds really good.
It does sound good. Very healthy chili relleno.
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting too? In the last week, actually in the last 3 weeks, I've been on a hunt. When we talk about classic food combinations and pairings, there's certain things, you know, peanut butter and jelly, and you know, butter and lobster. I mean, mm-hmm. there's certain things that just go so naturally together that they're a great pairing. One of the most underrated pairings in the food world, to my mind, is a green chili and cheese. But not just any green, a poblano and a Tucson cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a place that I went the other day. It's called Quesadilla, and it's on Craycroft,
right across
the street.
I know exactly where it is, yeah.
I've been there, too. Yeah.
Okay, so they have this taco called a Yas taco, and I don't know what they're doing to it, but they're sprinkling it with something. What is it about that combination of flavors?
Okay, here's my theory about that, okay? Why do tomatoes go so well with basil, right? And olive oil, because they all grow in the same place.
Okay.
And so poblanos and the cows that, you know, make those good melty Mexican cheeses, they all grow in the same place. And so the the pairing becomes natural because foods that grow in the same area or come from the same area naturally, they naturally pair well.
So foods that grow together go together.
That's what I think. Parmesan and prosciutto.
That's true. That's right? That's a classic.
Right.
All right. I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Greg Deanna, where would you take somebody from out of town to give them that really quintessential green chili moment in town?
I don't know.
Where's your favorite?
There are so many different choices around town, and I always like to get off the beaten path and, again, exploring. Yeah, the south side of Tucson has some wonderful little restaurants that are, I think, undiscovered by many of us, but the locals know them quite well. And I think finding those local flavors is best. Again, like you said, the people who are using the local and regional flavors, you know, it kind of depends on the person, too. I've taken people to some of the more fine dining. I mean, we always have Cafe Poco Coso right around the corner from here. It's very fresh, very good, very well known. And that's really, you know, if you have somebody that you're trying to impress and they like that fine dining experience, I think that might be a place to go.
But that's a good idea.
But yeah, if you like a real, you know, if you just know a really a down-to-earth foodie person, I think it's finding the smaller, locally owned restaurants that, you know, serve an assortment of food. And it really depends on what you're in the mood for. Sometimes we just love a good street taco, and there's many places around town to find those.
I've got to tell you, I would put Tucson in the top 10 delicious cities in North America.
I agree. That's why I was so thrilled to be moving back here. But I want to say something to broaden this conversation a little bit, and that is, we are in the Southwest, but Tucson's food also includes Greek and Lebanese and Pakistani.
Asian.
We are so... So if I was bringing a visitor here and I wanted to impress them, I would hit as many different types of those restaurants as I could.
Because they're all gonna operate at that level that says delicious.
It's going to be white tablecloth dining by my definition, whether it's by anybody else's definition. So on a really blistering hot afternoon when I've had a miserable day, I know that the best thing for me is going to be a glass of very cold Retsina and a mezza plate from one of the Greek restaurants in town.
Okay.
And that tastes like Tucson to me. Do you see?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
As well as the Southwestern flavors. But there's just so much food stuff going on in the city. It's just fascinating to me.
How are we doing as a food community on the storytelling side?
There's a pretty lively culture of bloggers and writers here, for sure. Are we telling every story that could be told? No, I don't think so. That's one of the reasons why I approached the editor at the Star to pitch my column idea to her, because even though every column I write includes a recipe that either I have developed or been given by someone, I'm interested in what people do with food at home, but every cook has a story.
So what's the gist of your column?
I want to know about the people behind the food I'm eating. And so in some cases, tomorrow I'm going down to Cochise to interview a rancher who sells his own lamb and beef and pork, because I want to talk to him about sustainability and what challenges he faces ranching here in the Southwest. And then I'll probably give a recipe. Actually, it's one of my favorite recipes for an Armenian dish called fasulya, which is green beans, just regular garden green beans, cooked with a lamb shank and some tomato and some onion and garlic and olive oil and dressed with lemon when you eat it. So what my interest is, who are the people behind the food that we're eating in this city? And on some levels, because I write about what people do with food at home, that probably would not typically be a chef. It might be a chef, but it's not typically going to be a chef. It's going to be a producer.
Does the who matter?
In what way? What do you mean?
Well, when I'm tasting food, mm-hmm. to fully dimensionalize the story, I believe that you've got to talk about who made this food for you and why they made this food for you.
Well, isn't that the principle behind eating locally to begin with? You know, we know that concentrating your money in the local economy benefits everybody. And we know that the whole Eat Local movement is driven by the notion that you should know your farmer. And so, yeah, I think the story does matter. That's part of my passion, is writing about these people who are driven to create some food-related item, whether it's a chilled salsa or a guy I interviewed for one of my first columns who teaches a class on how to harvest and process prickly pear fruit to make prickly pear jelly. He's driven to do that as a volunteer. He teaches this class all summer, you know? And so I think it's just a fully fascinating thing. When I went to interview at the Detroit News, the managing editor said to me, "I don't care about cooking. Why should I read the food section?" And I said, "Well, do you eat?" Right? The idea is, food doesn't just come out of the grocery store. It comes from someplace.
And it comes with an intention.
It comes with an intention. And if you know who's growing your food, I think you feel better about it. If you know who's preparing your food, I think you feel better about that. And so, for me, the philosophy behind all eating, whether it's at a restaurant or at home, is that food is a way of showing someone you love them. Because when someone gives you food, what they are saying to you, when they feed you, what they are saying to you is, "I do not want you to die." Right? I want you to live.
And I want to delight you.
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, no. Sometimes, you know, sometimes their food's not going to delight you. That doesn't mean that that's,
they don't love you.
It doesn't mean they don't love you.
I agree with what you're saying. I think it's so important, too, not only to eat local, but ask who the restaurateur is. Right. And see if you can meet the owner, because many of the owners of these local restaurants have fascinating stories.
Indeed, they do.
And come from many different cultures. So many of us don't get to travel the world, but you can in Tucson by going to some of these local restaurants and asking who's the owner.
Right. Right. I agree. I totally agree. I mean, the fastest way to get connected with somebody is to plug in over food, in my opinion.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, really meeting some of the local restaurateurs and people who own these small businesses, they're fascinating individuals. They work extremely hard. They play it against the odds. The restaurant business is not an easy business to be in.
More fair than almost any other business.
Right, right. But yet they do it because they're passionate about it. And
well,
they
they're called to
it.
Do it, too.
Sure. Absolutely.
And it gets under your skin.
Yep, it does.
Hey, we're going to take another really quick break. Come and join us. We are here at Penka Restaurant, where Executive Chef David Solorzano is delighting us by expressing to us how much he cares about us and, frankly, everybody else in the room. He is cooking.
And we love his food, too.
We love his food, too. Number 50 Broadway in downtown Tucson. This is Around the Table, live from the City of Gastronomy, broadcasting live from Penka Restaurant on AM 1030 The Voice, your trusted source for local news and talk, where your local news is your local talk and where the local talk is the local news. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. It is Around the Table, live from the City of Gastronomy. We are broadcasting live from Penka Restaurant at number 50 Broadway in downtown Tucson, where we invite the most interesting and influential newsmakers, tastemakers, style makers, lawmakers, movers, shakers, foodies, and friends. The influencers are here, and you never know who's going to drop by. We just looked up across the room, and one of our favorite people is here joining us now. Linda Ray is in the comedy business, which means laughs. She knows where to find the best young talent in town and where on any given day to go for a laugh. And as everybody that knows me knows, the only thing I like to do more than eat is to laugh. Linda, welcome. Thanks for dropping by.
Thanks for inviting me. Can't pass up a nice ceviche at Penka. What a wonderful meal that
is. I know,
it
looked delicious. Was it as yummy as it looked?
Oh, so good.
Do you come here all the time?
What?
Do you come
Not often enough.
Okay, I'm going to have you talk right in the microphone.
Okay, I'm making the mistake of talking to our host.
That's okay.
I don't come often enough.
Okay, there we go.
But it makes it especially enjoyable when I get here, so.
It was
delicious today. What a treat.
And,
and to find you here.
And, Greg, is there a comedy program as part of JTED?
We don't have that approved by the state, but I think there should be.
I think there absolutely should be. If you ever wanted somebody to, like, teach the kids how to be, like, a professional
funny
person.
Well, keep you in mind if we get that passed by the state. Yeah,
this is our friend.
And we'll do it. Yeah, we'll do it. We have comedy in town 20 shows a week, 20 to 30 shows a week. And
really?
Nobody knows. Yeah, I know. Nobody knows about it. And that's, I started covering comedy to be 3 years in November. I started a comedy column for Tucson Weekly. I had written about music for decades before that. But I just saw an emergence of comedy, partly owing to the popularity of YouTube channels, Comedy Central, all of the comedy you can find online and the podcasts is just starting to bubble up. And I started out writing 350 words a week for Tucson Weekly, and now we're up to 900 or so, and I can't begin to cover it all. Mm-hmm. There's just so much. So I started this group, Tucson Comedy Alliance, to try and tie everything together, all of the stand-up comedy, all of the improv, the comedy theaters, things like Fringe Festival, even a movie now and then. But if you go to TucsonComedy.com on the website or Tucson Comedy on Facebook, you'll see a calendar of every single comedy show and open mic in town. So there's no excuse not to go laugh every night, you know.
I love that. Now, listen, you and I are friends on Facebook, and I saw that there is some kind of crazy game show this weekend.
Oh, yes, there is. In the month of August, actually, it's been going, they started in July, and it's so popular. The Tucson Improv Movement does something like the old game show match game, if you remember that from television, where a lot of us improvisers, I'm a member of that company, dress up as celebrities and play as celebrities this old game show. And the questions are silly. People come up from the audience. I'm Betty White, but we have Phyllis Diller and the Wicked Witch of the West, and we have actors and improvisers performing all of these celebrities. So that happens every Saturday night. It's continuing through the 1st of August at Tucson Improv Movement, which is on 9th Street, right by the underpass that goes to Congress. It's
and you're actually
next
right
to Revel.
Yeah, right next door to Revel Wine Bar.
Yeah, right next to Revel Wine Bar.
Yeah, one of our favorite places.
Yeah, so that's a lot of fun. And then, well, every Saturday, every Friday and Saturday at Tucson Improv Movement, there are two shows, but the same is true of Unscrewed Theater. Everybody knows about Unscrewed Theater.
I don't.
You don't? Oh, well, Unscrewed Theater has been around for over 30 years. And when I first saw them, they were in the Embassy Suites Hotel on Miracle Mile, which is now called something else. And then for a long time, they were on Speedway across from the Loft Cinema. They have recently moved to 4550 Speedway, right near... Well, they're in the same, you'll know, Delectables.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the same, they're actually right next door to Delectables. But they have been doing short form improv comedy in town for that many decades. So they always have 3 to 4 shows on a weekend. Of course, Laughs Comedy Cafe has 4 shows every weekend. All of those shows are listed at TucsonComedy.com. So if you want to know what comics are coming to town or who's around, and if you start following my column, which is called Laughing Stock in Tucson Weekly, every Thursday, you'll begin to learn who were the rising comics in Tucson. Locally, we have some really great ones that are in a position now to open for bigger comics.
So if there's any one name, if there's any one name you wanted to turn us on to,
Oh, yeah. No, well, there's a ton of them. I'd watch for Ali Musa. I'd watch for Roxy Morari, who runs the... every Monday night, she has an open mic. It's called Comedy at the Wench. She runs a series at Surly Wench Pump, which is open mics every Monday, except the last Monday is always a special show. So she's having a crazy kind of patriotic, unpatriotic, well, it's a satire of patriotism show the last Monday of this month coming up. So that's an exciting thing to look for. Dave Margolis has been running a great showcase up in Marana at Casa Marana every other Thursday night, bringing in some people who haven't done comedy for a long time, a lot of mature comics. Actually, that reminds me, I may not get another chance to tell you. In the fall, look for a project I'm working on. You can see this grizzled face. Dave Fitzsimmons and I, and Dave Margolis is part of it. Jay Taylor is part of it. There are a bunch of us old folks creating a show called Still Standing Up. We're going to be going around to over 55 communities all over southern Arizona.
Cool.
So for other comedians to look for in town, there is a young woman by the name of Autumn Horvath, who is really generating a lot of juice right now. We do a series, there's a comedy series at Hotel McCoy, which is, you know where that is, every last Friday of every month. She did one last month that packed the house. There were almost 200 people there. It was all women. It was comedy without boys, which seems like a really simple thing. But most bills you see around town, you won't see more than one or two women. And in a place like Laughs, there are seldom any. She just packed a whole bill with women and attracted a ton of people. So she's going to repeat that show. In the meantime, Priscilla Fernandez, who has long time been a fixture at the retro game show at Hotel Congress, she's planning an all-women show at Congress. So that's going to be a really big deal. I'm trying to think of some other people. Yeah.
Is Tucson as funny as it is delicious? Is Tucson more funny or more delicious?
It's more delicious, and I'll tell you why. It's been working on being delicious for what, a millennia?
Yeah, 4,000 years.
And so it's we have a little bit of a way to go. But we're growing. We're growing comedians here, which we haven't really paid much attention to in the past. In the past, they had, you know, like a 3-minute set once a week at Laughs, which was great. Some great people were around until around 2016. But since then, we now have places for people to grow. Like they can do 3 minutes. We have a class now at Tucson Improv Movement for people who want to do skill building. But we have showcases that will give them 5 minutes and then 10 minutes. So that we have coming up with Startup Tucson, the 10 West Festival. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's all for business. We proposed, and the proposal was accepted, a 24-hour telethon where we're giving comedians a chance to do up to an hour. As long as they want. We're going to do 24 hours of comedy.
Let's remind people that one of the great comedians of our generation, Gary Shandling, is a native Tucsonan.
Yep.
So we've got a Comedy Hall of Famer from here. Yep. We got a couple minutes left. Linda, thank you for coming and joining us.
Thanks
I'm glad
for
to have you at our table. Greg Deanna, before we say goodbye, and Robin Mather from the incredibly new and improved version of, like, Beans.
Country Harvest Pantry. Find me on Facebook and visit me at Rialto Park Farmers Market.
And we're going to turn the three-bean salad into the side dish of the season. I can't wait. We should have a three-bean salad competition.
Actually, I'd probably win that because I just use one of my 21-bean soup mixes.
Oh, you do? But that's more than three beans.
I know. So I would obviously win.
Yeah, but if you had 21 beans and I only asked for three, that's kind of cheating, don't you think?
You have 7 entries.
Of course it's cheating.
Seven entries. That's funny. Yeah. I wonder, one of the smart kids over at JTED could do the calculation, especially your engineering kids. If I gave you 21 different beans, how many three-bean combinations can you yank out of?
Oh, my God.
I'll put that out there. Yeah. Hey, before we let you all go, we've only got a couple of minutes left, and I want to make sure that people have the opportunity to get in touch with you all. Have you got a place where we can come and find you, Robin? And if anybody wants to invite you to come and hang out and go out to eat and, you know.
I'm in the process of building a website right now. The business has not had one. You can email me at countryharvestpantry@gmail.com.
Okay.
You'll always find me at the Rialto Park Farmers Market on Sunday mornings. And I hope you'll be seeing me at other farmers markets around town. But the best thing to do is follow me on Facebook at Country Harvest Pantry, at my page. So that's where I'll announce weekly specials. I'll publish recipes for products. I'll talk about any special events that I'm going to be attending. So come on over to Facebook and follow Country Harvest Pantry.
Do you have any fun today?
Do I have any fun today?
Did you have fun today?
I did have fun today.
Well, you look like you had fun today. Yeah. We had a blast having you at our table. Will you come back and visit with us again?
I'd be glad to do that.
And great, Deanna, I can't tell you too many times how much I enjoy being in your presence. You're a remarkable person, and you put a smile on my face, and I'm just happy to have you here with us. When do you go back to school? When are the JK?
We go back July 29th, so summer's almost over. Doesn't feel like it, but it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
And for people to get more information, where can we find?
Find us at pimajted.org on the web, and then also like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We're all the Pima JTED.
And is there a broadcast component on the JTED portfolio?
We do. We do have a radio and television program. And so the broadcast journalism media. And so, yes, we have many students, young filmmakers coming up through the works for that.
And you're going to come and send some of them over here to hang out with us?
We absolutely would love to.
Because that would be really fun.
Yeah.
Because absolutely. The one thing we know is that people really do love talking about the things that mean the most to them. Mm-hmm. And if you really love food, you want to share it. James Beard, the father of American gastronomy, said, perhaps as simply as anyone ever did, as truer, it was never spoken. Food unites us.
Absolutely.
I love that food unites us. I love that it's united us today. And Linda, one more time, where can the comedy info?
TucsonComedy.com and Tucson Comedy on Facebook. Couldn't be simpler.
And for those of you who want to know, we will be here again next Tuesday at Panko Restaurant, but we're here each and every day live. Up next, the one and only John C. Scott, with one of the most long-standing, valuable programs of community information and public opinion this station and this community has ever had. What a privilege it is to broadcast immediately following Bill Buckmaster and immediately preceding John C. Scott. If I haven't said so before, and if I haven't said so lately, please know how grateful I am for the great privilege of being here in between these two legendary broadcasters, sharing what we love the most, coming together around a table over food and drink. The conviviality portion of life here in Tucson is alive and well. Thank you, David Solorzano and the Panka team. When you get home today, do me a favor. Please, hug your kids and count your blessings. And remember to tune in tomorrow at 1 o'clock, where we'll be back. Cheers.